Jack Armstrong joins us, a TSN NBA analyst. Jack, how you doing?
Jason, you know, I just heard you up on the soapbox, up on the rant, and I have to agree with you. As a former coach and someone who used to scout and recruit for a living, there's a term that scouts use all the time, and that is a guy jumps out at you. You know, like it just jumps off the page. He has a few discernible skills that you say, wow, this guy can do it. And regardless of who he's playing with, you just say, that guy's a player. And I don't care whether it's football or baseball or hockey or basketball, scouts can tell you that. And I don't know who the guy you're talking about, but the bottom line is, if you're a player, you not only jump off the page at people, you find a way to make sure that other guys around you elevate their games to the best possible level they can play at. Unfortunately, sometimes you are a victim of circumstance and you play with teammates that might not be great teammates, great players, great guys, might lack a lot of skill, but at the end of the day, there's still something about your intrinsic value that you bring to the table that resonates and, more importantly, brings other people to the table in a positive fashion. It maybe in some ways inspires them to play better and in a lot of ways leads them to play better.
Yeah, and DeMar DeRozan, Jack, we saw Kyle Lowry really elevate his play without him. They've lost four in a row. Is it just a case of now they're starting to miss their second-best player a little bit?
I think it happens. I think you hit the wall a little bit. I think there's a challenge there. You know, going into the Portland game, I didn't feel that way at all, and I thought they played a beautiful game out west against them and lost in overtime. Golden State, they played a very competitive first half, and then they fell off the table, got blown out. Phoenix, they got blown out, no show, last game of a West Coast trip. You see that a lot in basketball and hockey. And then the game last night in Toronto, I mean, it was just one of those bad performances that it was funny. I was watching on Wednesday night Chicago get blown out at home by Utah. I'm like, what is going on here? This is an aberration. And I thought last night against Charlotte, it was one of those things that you come out and you don't respect your opponent. You're not really ready to play. And the other opponent is a good team, even though their record doesn't show that. That's starting to play a little bit better in season, and you get beat. So now you got the challenge of kind of regrouping. So the Raptors have that challenge tomorrow night at home against Boston. They got five more games at home on this homestand. So it's on them to turn it around. But they've had a really nice season so far, and you know, now it's response time.
Memphis faced Atlanta earlier this week, Jack, and the Atlanta Hawks are absolutely rolling right now. They've won six straight, obviously nine of their last 10. They're 27-8. Are they legit in your mind? And if so, what makes them so good?
They're absolutely legit. And they're one of those teams, the sum is more important than the parts. They're a tough out. They share the ball. They're incredibly well coached. They guard. They have tremendous role definition. Everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing. They shoot the three. They have dribble penetration. They rebound the ball. They you know, they just have a lot of good phases. Now, do they have a superstar? They do not. Do they have a lot of good players, like A-minus, B-plus, B players? Yes, they do. And, you know, kind of a lot of times teams like that are built for the regular season, and then when you get into the postseason, you need that star to get you over the hump. On the other hand, I think they're a pain in the butt to play against. If you're Chicago or Cleveland or throw Washington or Toronto in the mix, you don't want to play Atlanta in the playoffs, because they're just going to be a team that surgically will take you apart. They won't take you apart because they have that overwhelming stud that gets 40 points and 30 rebounds, but they have just a subtle way of pecking away at you. And, you know, they're legit. They're a very, very good team. And more importantly, they've beaten good Western Conference teams. It's one thing to beat teams in your own conference. It's another thing to beat legitimate teams from the other conference. And they've done that. So, and here's the crazy thing. The Raptors right now are in third place in the East, three games back. They've beaten Atlanta twice.
Yeah.
So and they got Atlanta next Friday night at home, so that'll be a big game. But Toronto needs to get right before that game, that's for sure. But Atlanta's a really, really good club. I love their team.
Toronto's lucky because the rest of the Atlantic Division's terrible. Brooklyn's, you know, 16 and 19. They're in second place. What do you make of Cleveland right now? Only two games over 500. I know people talk chemistry would take some time, Jack, but we're almost at the halfway point of the season, and they're still not right.
Well, you're right, but they made two moves this week that, in my opinion now, with 40-plus games left to play, address their needs. Perimeter defense, you know, they tried to address that a little bit. You know, when you look at Iman Shumpert from the Knicks, you bring in a guy like J.R. Smith who adds a little bit more firepower, who was the sixth man of the year in the NBA a few years ago on a team that was a terrific team in the East, and the Knicks just a few short years ago, and who I think LeBron will bring the best out in him. And then they bring the kid Mozgov in from Denver, the center, who's going to provide them rim protection and rebounding. So when you put all that together, I think the Cavs, in spite of the challenges that they've had, and they've had a lot of injuries as well, I think if they get everybody right and they get 20, 25 games under their belt, they're going to be a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. So, yeah, the regular season might not be as picturesque as folks want it. On the other hand, though, I look at their team right now, and if they get their parts all together healthy for a good stretch, I think they'll start to get it turned.
Jack Armstrong, TSN NBA analyst, joins us. You look at one other team, Indiana, obviously the injury to George, you know, they're definitely not a competitive team. But what are the other teams that is, you know, right in the mix and only three games back of Atlanta is Washington. And they're tied right now with Toronto with the third best record in the Eastern Conference. They're seemingly getting better as the season goes along, Jack. In your mind today, if Chicago's number one in the East – or Atlanta, like how close is Washington to those teams?
I would put kind of, you know, it's interesting you say that, but and you just mentioned it prior to, I think the standings kind of reflect what the teams are.
Okay.
I really do. At this stage of the game, I think when it's all said and done, if you told me, Jack, you could get back into coaching and coach in the month of April, May, and June, who would you want? I'd want the Bulls.
Okay.
The second team I'd probably want at this stage would be Atlanta. And probably the third would be, if I got everything right and healthy, would be Cleveland. And then I would put Toronto and Washington kind of in that next group that if everything goes right, they could upset any of those three teams. And honestly, I don't think it's much of an upset. I think they could beat those teams 4 out of 7. So that's how – I wouldn't say even Steven it is, but it's relatively close. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to how teams improve internally the next few months and the kind of moves maybe GMs make in the other four cities. Cleveland has made their moves. Now does Atlanta, Toronto, Washington, Chicago do anything else? And I would have to say right now the two teams that might do something would be Washington and Toronto more than anybody else in that top five. But, you know, Washington's a good club. I think adding Paul Pierce really helps the veteran experience, particularly late in games. If their front court's healthy, particularly a guy like Nene, who's always banged up, John Wall is a brilliant player, and Bradley Beal when he's healthy, and right now he is. He's a tremendous three-point shooter. Second unit, a little skittish at times, but good enough. I think the East, even though people, you know, get on it a lot, there's five good teams in the East. Now, in the West, you probably have eight, maybe nine. But at the end of the day, all you got to do is get out of your conference. And I think the team that gets out of the East will not be as beaten up when they get to the finals as the team that, from the West. And there's no sure thing that a Western team is going to win the finals this year.
Jack Armstrong joins us. You mentioned get back into coaching, Jack. Get in the shoes of David Blatt, the head coach of Cleveland. You know, some people suggest that LeBron's not running what he wants to run. I honestly haven't watched close enough to say whether or not that's true or not. But Do you think he's on a short leash in Cleveland? What would you do if you were Blatt?
Well, first of all, you know, I wouldn't mind being in those shoes contractually, because it's a lot better than being in broadcasting, that's for sure, as you well know. So he's doing fine. We don't have to pass a hat for the poor guy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think for him, I think you got to stay firm to your principles. If you're going to get fired on your terms. And I think what he's trying to do is implement a system that's going to work for the entire group. And I think for a guy like LeBron, I think it's an adjustment for him. He had the same issue with Eric Spoelstra, and it all worked out beautifully for him in Miami in those 4 years. And I think if LeBron's a little patient and the folks in Cleveland are a little patient, I think it'll be okay. And, you know, the issue right now, I think, is the fact that the owner is kind of a little bit like a, you know, he's a little like Daniel Snyder in Washington, where he's got that quick trigger. And Daniel Gilbert in Cleveland has had that same quick trigger. And quite frankly, I think it really messes up your organization. So I would recommend what David Griffin there, GM, has said. It's just kind of like, hey, I stand behind my coach. We're going to back him. We're going to make some moves to improve the team. Just relax a little bit. Let it happen. And I think they'll be fine.
Jack, when you break down, you say the East and the West. The West is a lot harder. Right now, you know, the West is extremely exciting. And, of course, you know, Golden State, who for so many years was just kind of a doormat in the NBA. And, you know, it's funny to see them at the top and playing so well. Only five losses in 33 games. Curry's the best shooter in basketball. But what else do they do well, or where do you think they're susceptible at come playoff time?
I love their team. Number one, Bogut hasn't been playing. So, you know, when he comes back, he gives them three things. He's a shot blocker, he's a rebounder, and he's a sensational passer in the post. They have size. They have athleticism. I think if you look off the bench, when you bring a guy like Iguodala and a kid like Holloway, who's a really talented young player defensively, and I love Sean Livingston off the bench as well. But I love their depth. They're long, they're big, they're tall, they defend. Their starting backcourt is sensational. You know, when you look at Curry and Thompson, they shoot it. You know, and the thing that to me is important is the fact that they guard you. They really, really defend. They communicate. They play with energy. They're well coached. You look at a kid like Draymond Green. I mean, he's playing beautifully. He put a triple double up on Toronto the other night when I was out there, and he was so impressive. Kid Spates is playing off the charts in terms of shooting the ball from mid range as a post player. You know, David Lee's back healthy. I think they're the team to beat in the West. It's a relative term. We use it in all four major sports, but when healthy. And I think if Golden State is completely healthy with that home court, I mean, that's the best home court in the NBA. The fans are off the charts. It's great. I love going there. It's just an insane, energetic, fun, festive environment to play in. So I would give them the edge right now in that conference based upon all those dynamics.
Jack, always fun to talk basketball with you. You're hearing DeMar DeRozan next Wednesday, is that right?
You know, I hear all sorts of different things. The word I always hear is he's day-to-day and in the near future. You know, those are the terms I hear all the time. So I get to a point as a broadcaster, like, I just show up to the gym, and whoever's playing is playing, whoever isn't, and I don't worry about it. And I think Dwayne Casey coaches that way as well, and I think that's the right approach you use. I mean, you can't control all that stuff. And, you know, I love it in sports where, you know, when we say we're day-to-day. Well, aren't we all? We're all day-to-day. I mean, come on, really. I mean, it's one of those goofy terms that gets used. And obviously in hockey, we hear all that term. You know, we hear the term all the time, upper body injury, lower body injury, and nobody wants to tell the truth. So a lot of it is, you know, song and dance, and they just want to keep the media at bay. But there's no question in my mind that DeMar, based upon what I've seen, is close. He's really close. He's practicing, and he'll be back when they feel like He's ready to hit the ground running, contribute at a high level, and where there's minimal chance that he'll get re-injured. And I think that's the biggest thing, because you want him, because once you get him back, I think if you feel like you can get him back and he's going to be able to give you 45-plus games plus the playoffs, then your team is in a totally different level. So I think it is the right thing to do to kind of, if you got to wait one or two more games and get him a two, three, four more practices under his belt, but then when he comes back, he's right, then it's the proper approach. Again, only time will tell if it is, but I think that's probably the right way to go about it.
Jack, look forward to talking again soon. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jason. All the best. Have a great weekend, buddy.